Open your Bibles, please, to the 43rd Psalm, Psalm 43. In your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 619. We'll read all five verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Once more, Psalm 43 in your Scofield Bible, page 619. As is our custom, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Together also on verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help of my countenance and my God. And let's pray. Father, it's a delightful thing for us to be here. What a church. And what a blessed joy it is to share in the things of God with these, our friends, those who make up a part of this church, from old to young. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the Hippards who can be with us today. We praise thee for them and for their investment in this church. Thank you for our preacher. We pray that as he comes to preach to us, that we would make ourselves be attentive to listen and yield ourselves to thy Spirit, as our preacher yields himself likewise, that we might do that which is thy will to do, and in hearing thy word, do that which we should do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, why am I depressed? Why am I depressed? For 41 years and 2 or 3 months, I've stood on this corner behind this same piece of wood, the John, this same pulpit we've always had all these years. Every time we bought new furniture, we just put a new covering on the pulpit. It's the same one. And over 41 years, I stood behind this pulpit and in tears and in laughter tried to help you when you suffered for a reason. I have tried to lift your spirits when the tests showed malignancy. I have sat in my study over 300,000 times and counseled with you, somebody, over 300,000 times, when you wrestle with a decision, a problem, or a burden. I have walked to this pulpit over 6,000 times, and I mean this, and I think you know it, sincerely trying to meet your obvious needs. I have caught your tears of repentance. I have attempted to give hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, and a home to the homeless. This morning, I'm going to go a little different direction, and I'm going to try to strengthen, comfort, and encourage a different crowd of people. The psalmist said, why am I cast down? He asked himself, why go I mourning? Why am I disquieted? He said. Would you bow your heads for prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, tomorrow, most of these people will have to go out and face a world that's unfriendly to Christ. And as we leave after a while, We'll pick our burdens up in the vestibule that we left out there a while ago, and we will take them back to bear them, carry them. We'll go back to weeping again, hurting again, wandering again. So I pray that you'd help me in the next 30 minutes to be what our people need as I speak on this subject. Why am I depressed? In Jesus' name, amen. Basically, I think you know that I'm a happy person. I think you know that most of the time, by all the odds, 99% of the time, I'm on top side. Recently, however, as on occasion I do, very rare occasion, I woke up and I felt down. A cloud seemed to be over my head. I didn't know why. You've been there. You're there now. You look like you're there now. I don't know why. As far as I knew, I was okay. I had no serious illness other than cancer and heart trouble and tuberculosis and growing toenail, which is the worst of all. But I didn't know why. So I did what I always do when I am down without a reason, depressed seemingly without a cause. I fled to Psalm number 43. So today I want to address many of you whom I perhaps have neglected, those who are disquieted and do not know why. You're in good health. You have no serious financial problems. You have no recent heartbreak or heartache. You mourn no loved one's departure. Your mind has not guided you into the valley, and circumstances have not been your escort. You just found yourself one day, not knowing why, under a cloud and somewhat depressed. You are sometimes, each of us is sometimes, perhaps even now, down a bit, and you don't know why. You slipped into the valley. You weep unexplained tears. You carry an anonymous burden. Yours is an unannounced heavy heart. Tears did not call before they came. Sorrow made no appointment before it came and sat beside you. And a heavy heart did not explain its purpose when it came. All of a sudden, for some reason, you knew not why, you just felt like you were down. You see, we're all down here on this little round ball that's going around and around in space. We don't know much about from whence we came, and we know very little about where we're going. We know what it is and what it's called, but not much is said about heaven in the Bible. And it's a pretty tough place down here, and it's easy to find ourselves under the juniper tree without having a Jezebel pursuing us. And for no unexplained reason, we find ourselves down. Oh, you live in the third heaven, but on occasion, you visit perdition. Your permanent address is on the mountain, but unexplainably, you woke up in the valley. You went to sleep on Mount Zion and woke up in Gethsemane, and you don't quite understand why you did. I often attempt to encourage those who are disquieted because of illness, heartache, heartbreak, death, or tragedy. But today, I address those of you who are in the valley with no seeming cause or because. You just are in the valley. Now, this is to some extent all of us. We visit melancholy. We sojourn in depression. We hiatus in tears. But we don't dwell there. I'm sure that many of you could say to me, I've been there time and time again, perhaps I'm there now. Such was the case with David. David said, why am I cast down, O my soul? He said, why art thou disquieted within me? David is saying, my tears have been my meat night and day. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. My soul is cast down within me. And David said, why am I cast down? Why go I mourning? Why cannot I be happy. He says, as do we. I'm down. I don't know why I'm down. I'm just down. I shouldn't be down, but I am. I can't account for it. I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. What is the cause of my dejection? I should be happy. My name is written in heaven. I'm a child of God. My sins are forgiven. My sins have blotted out of God's book. God is my Father. Jesus my Savior. Heaven is my future. And the rapture is my hope. And the Holy Spirit is my comforter. And yet, in spite of all of that, I am down. I don't understand why I'm down. Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Why go I mourning? This was he who, as a young stripling, hurled the stone that fell Goliath. And now he's down. This is the happy head on which was placed Israel's crown. And now he's down. These were the excited hands that once were given the scepter of the nation of Israel. And now he's depressed. This is the celebrated back on which rested Israel's royal robe. And now that back is stooped. He doesn't know why. The load is bent. His back is bent beneath the load. He does not know why. This is the hand, this is the lad that rose to the throne. He had lived in the Alps of spiritual experience, and now with all of that, he is depressed and not can understand why he's in the valley. I say this to you today, to those of you who have times of depression, you're in good company. David was disquieted. David did not know why he was down. Jeremiah got discouraged and quit the ministry because he got blue and discouraged. George Whitfield had such struggles. I just read in his biography the other day. He had times of inexplained melancholy, inexplained depression. Martin Luther had terrible fits of depression, and at times even was suicidal. I'm saying, you're in good company. And even Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Now, several things. When you get that way, as I did on a recent morning, I want to suggest to you several things. Number one is, you're not any different from the greatest Christians who ever lived. Number two, don't feel embarrassed or guilty. Number three, don't try to figure out why you're down. Number four, don't try to get back up. Number five, David said, why is my soul disquieted? Why am I cast down? Why go I mourning? And David did not answer that. He did not know the answer. But what he said was this, the next line, I shall yet praise him. What he says is, I'm down, but I'll keep on praising him. And David praised his way back up. He praised his way from the valley to the mountaintop. So, when I got depressed the other morning, I just got in the car and drove over to a little park and got my pencil out and started writing down all the good things about God. His omnipotence, his omniscience, his forgiveness, his long-suffering, his patience, his mercy, his grace. And then I wrote all the good things that could about Jesus. And then I just started. And hey, by the way, you don't have to shout real loud to praise. It's okay, but you don't have to. You can whisper and praise God. I can say, I have a wonderful God. And that's praising God. I can say, God is gracious and God is good. Let us thank him for the pizza. And that's praising God. So when I get down, and I do, and you do too, I just praise my way back up out of the valley. When a phone rises still as your tempest tossed, when you're discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Angels will attend. And bless God, you can praise your way and thank God your way out of the valley back up to the mountaintop. He said, I shall yet praise him. So don't try to figure out why you're down. And don't try to figure out how to get back up. And don't even try to get back up. Just start thinking how good God is, how wonderful God is. And David said, I shall yet praise him. I will praise him still. I will not stop praising him. I'm down. I don't know why. But bless God, God is up. And he's my God. And Jesus is my Savior. And heaven is my home. And the Bible is my book. And the rapture is my blessed hope. And the Holy Spirit is my power. And I'm a child of God, and praise your way from the valley up to the mountaintop.
As you know, I was a good friend of Lester Olof. Lester Olof was very strange. One of the best Christians I ever met, but he didn't live like everybody else did. He didn't eat hamburgers. He didn't eat, I'm sorry, Dr. Fitty, would you put your earplugs in, please, right now? But I won't please piss off you. I hate to look at him when I'm talking about hamburgers. Roloff was different. He ate elephant's eyeballs for breakfast and grasshopper legs for supper and all that kind of junk. Healthy, wonderful food. But Lester was always in a battle, always in a fight. I recall within a month or two, he was voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. Within that same area, he had some personal problems. And then false accusations began to spread across the country against him. Scandal. And then his orphanages, his girls' homes, boys' homes, were attacked by the state. By the way, I want to say this too. George Bush, as governor of Texas, did more for the Roloff homes than anybody that's ever lived. I never said that, but governor after governor fought him and tried to close the homes. When George Bush came in, he led in enacting laws that protected the homes there, and we owe him a debt for that. He may be our president someday. But then, that isn't all. Lester Olof had a radio broadcast on a 50,000-watt three-channel station. Within a matter of months, he was voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention, had some personal problems, scandalous accusations were spread across the country, his homes were told they had to close, and he was taken off the station. Oh, so I realized he was down. So I got on the airplane and flew from Dallas to Corpus Christi to try to encourage Brother Olof. I walked in his office, and a huge sign across the whole wall said, "Praise God anyhow." That's exactly what David said. Why am I discouraged? Why am I down? Oh, he had plenty of times. He knew why he was down. He knew why he was down when Saul was chasing him across the land with a spear in his hand that nailed him to the wall. He was down then. He knew why he was down when his son, Absalom, had rebelled against him and marched on an army and had a civil war and tried to steal his scepter, wear his crown, wear his robe, and sit on his throne. He knew why he was down. But now he said, "I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm down." He said, "But I shall yet praise him." What he was saying is, praise God anyhow. David didn't say, "I shall shout." He said, "I shall yet praise God." He didn't say, if I said you, Brother Quotso, that Brother Moffat's a good guy. I'm lying. But no, I'm saying, and he is a good guy. I'm praising him. I'm saying Brother Moffat's a generous man. I'm praising him. I don't have to say, "Well, glory to God, bless Brother Moffat." I'm for that. And don't you quit it. In fact, start it. But that's not all the praise. You simply can say, "Roy, you're a good guy. I love you, Roy. You're a generous fella. And you've been faithful and loyal through these years. And hey, I got the wrong man here." But I'm praising Brother Moffat. Now, but when I get down and don't know why I'm down, and I do several times a year, about 365 times a year, I don't know why. I just get up and I don't feel bad. I don't ache. I don't hurt. I have no reason, as far as I know. I just wake up and I'm down. And brother, every time I do that, I just take off the wood somewhere, get me a piece of paper, start writing down the good things about God, or find somebody and brag on God, or look up to God and brag on him. And I just praise my way out of the valley and find myself on the mountaintop. So brag on him. Tell people how good he is. Tell him how good he is. The other day, I was driving from Longview, Texas to Marshall, Texas, and preaching with Dr. Bob Ray in his pastor's school. had a few hours, and I was only 20 miles away from where I'd pastored at the Grange Hall Baptist Church in Marshall. I drove down the old Highway 80. Didn't take the interstate this time. Drove down the old Highway 80. I drove by an old service station. Remember the kind where you had to pump the gas into the little tank there? And the old service station. Behind that service station was a little house. I stopped there and remembered this story. I was pastor of that little church out there in Grange Hall. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang. It was one of my members named Abe Simon, married to a girl named Ruth K. Wood, who married Abe, became Ruth Simon. Young married couple. They were about 25 years old, I guess. It was a pouring down rain. And an electrical storm, all the ingredients of a terrible night. And Abe said, 2 o'clock in the morning, "Preacher, it's Ruth. It's Ruth." I said, "Is she dying?" No, but it's Ruth. Come quickly. It's Ruth. I said, "Hey, what's wrong?" He said, "Come quickly. It's Ruth. Come quickly." And hung up the phone. I didn't know why I was over. When I got there, Ruth was on the floor of that little house behind that service station. It's been 40 some odd years ago, almost 50 years ago. And she was behind the, in the little house behind there where she and Abe lived. She was on the floor, and Ruth was not this kind of a girl. She was on the floor, writhing and screaming, oh, God, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. I'm afraid I'm going to hell." And I said, "Abe, what's wrong?" He said, "I don't know what's wrong." All of a sudden, Ruth got discouraged. She got down, and she got to doubting her salvation, and she thinks she's going to hell. I don't know what's wrong. And I said, "Ruth, listen to me. Shh, hush. Don't try to hush a woman. Hush." She's lying on the floor, heaving, absolutely, sobbing uncontrollably. I said, "Ruth, what's wrong?" "I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I'm not saved. I don't know if I'm saved. Oh, Brother Howes, help me, help me, help me." I said, "Ruth, did you ever get baptized?" "Yeah, I got baptized." "Did you ever walk an aisle?" "Yeah, I walked an aisle." "Tell me about it." "Well, as you said, I was a teenage girl. I came to Angel Baptist Church. Oh, by the house, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell." I said, "Ruth, tell me now. Tell me about it when you walked the aisle. Tell me all about it." "Well, I was sitting back here in the back. And you said you was preaching, and I felt like I was lost in a sinner. And I felt like I was lost and going to hell. And you told me that Jesus paid the penalty for me, and that Jesus died for me. And I got up off the chair, and I walked through the aisle, walked down the aisle. I knelt at the altar, and somebody got the Bible and prayed with me. And they told me that I was a sinner, and that sinners were lost, and Jesus died for sinners. And that if I trusted, I'd be saved." She said, "Hallelujah, I'm saved, I'm saved." What did she do? She praised her way out of the valley. And that's the way you do it. When Dave goes down, he usually check his psalm sometime. And you'll find out that after David was in the valley, almost immediately the next psalm is a praise psalm. Or the last lines of that psalm, a praise psalm. Now, look. Do you ever get down, Bob? Do you ever get up? Mike, you principal of school. You're bound to get down. But did you ever wake up and wonder why you're down? Brother Jeff, did you ever get up? Down, I mean. You know what I'm talking about. Brother Jack, you're down. You're married to my daughter. You've got a reason to be down. She's the one that goes out and chases umpires and balls them out and everything. But by the way, the umpire she chased didn't get it near as bad as I got it Wednesday night after I told about her chasing the umpire. But look, goodness, look, I've got a heart condition, and sometimes I get to thinking about it. The doctor told me 3 years ago I'd have to have heart valve surgery. 2 years ago, within 3 years, I'm about 1 year and 4 months from the deadline he gave me. If I stopped and thought about that, I might could get down. I don't think about it too much. I'm too busy kicking over the microphone. But I don't. But that I get down sometimes about that. Or I look at my age and I realize I'm 74. John, are you older than I am? How old are you? Oh, come on, don't lie to me, John. 73. Man, you were my hero when I was a boy. But I realize, John, I'm 74 years old. Look, I'm no dummy, but that's 6 years from 80. That's 16 from 90. You don't feel very good all of a sudden, do you? I can see you right now. But if I thought about that, but I don't think about it. I just kick over a microphone and praise God, keep on going. But I think about the Lord of His church. Good night, somebody the other day said. They're sweet. You're sweet. I love you. But they wrote me a note and said, Paul Harvey, he's 80 years old. He just signed another contract for 10 more years. But if Paul Harvey can keep on going, you can keep on going. If all I had to do was sit down and read something in front of a microphone that somebody else wrote, I could last 10 more years too. But look, I don't dwell on those things. I don't dwell on the fact that I've said before. I don't dwell on them. But occasionally I'm down, and I know I'm down. If his house isn't well, I really face it then. I can take it better when I'm sick than when she's sick, which means I never can take it. But the times when I just don't know why. And by the way, that's where most of you are sometime. And David, let me sort of put words in his mouth. When my son rebelled against me, and my throne was, I was tottering on the throne, and my crown was unsure on my head, and I had to grip hold so tight to the scepter. And the robe seemed not to be my sides, and the throne seemed not to be mine. And my own flesh and blood turned his back on me. And my best friend, Ahithophel, likewise turned his back on me. And I was walking out of the city, going down to Mahanaim. And Shimei began to hurl stones and dust at me and call me a bunch of dirty names. I knew why I was down. I knew why I was down when Saul was threatening to kill me when he hurled the spear at me. I knew why I was down. I knew why I was down when I was over there with Achish. I knew why I was down. But he said, I don't know why. I don't know why I'm down. Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Why go I mourning? I don't know why. But he said, I know what to do. I shall yet praise him. Praise God anyhow. Oh, shoot. Praise God anyhow. If Mr. Gore gets in the White House, I'm going to TP it. But praise God anyhow. Good night. We put up a Clinton 8 years. Anything would be better than that. I wish Charlie Brown would run. I'd vote for Charlie Brown. But praise God anyhow. I mean, if the country goes to the devil, bless God, he's alive, heaven's still real, the streets are still gold, and the gates are still made of pearl, and I'm still a child of God, and my sins are blotted out of his book, and his righteousness is recorded against my name. I'm a child of the King. I walk with the King. Hallelujah. I walk with the King. Praise his name. My soul faces home. No longer I roam. I walk and I talk with the King, and I praise my way out of the valley. When you sit in the house, I'm not a loud mouth right back there. Neither am I. Neither is anybody else. But thank God he is. But wait a minute. You say, I'm just not that kind. Okay, whisper. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What you say in the house, I just don't like to be heard in public. Write it down. I said to somebody this week, who was down, reason, seemingly, after listening to me, you are an American. You live in the United States of America, a country that doesn't know how to elect a president. But that isn't all. You are a saved American. You're on your way to heaven. That isn't all. You are a Baptist saved American. That isn't all. You're an independent Baptist saved American. But that isn't all. You are a First Baptist Church of Heaven independent Baptist saved American. That isn't all. You're a cantankerous independent Baptist saved American. David said, well, I hear Brother Olaf saying, well, Baptists don't want me. They say I got too much for them. Pentecostals don't want me. They say I ain't got enough for them. But I don't know what I am. But I can hear him saying, well, praise God anyhow. That's what David said. And that's what you ought to do. Praise God anyhow. You say, Brother Howes, I'm glad to hear that you get down every once in a while. I'm glad to hear that you, who always seem like you're on top side, have an occasion when you're like David. Why am I cast down, O my soul? Why am I disquieted within me? Why go? Yes, I do. But I know where to go. Psalm 43. And realize that the man after God's own heart, the young king of Israel, the psalm-writing, harp-playing, joyous, happy David, got down for no reason. Why? 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 And then he said, I don't know why. I'm not going to figure out why. Just going to start praising God anyhow. It's Thanksgiving time. Spend the week praising God. Spend it praising God. Quit looking at your negatives and look at His positives. Quit looking at your brevity of life and look at His longevity of life. Quit looking at your conditions and look at the city He's prepared for you in heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore. I don't feel much at home in this world anymore. Just praise God anyhow. Why? Why? Understand it. Why am I down? I knew why I was down at the graveside. I knew why I was down at the hospital. I knew why I was down at the doctor's office. I knew why I was down at the bankruptcy court. I knew why I was down when I got discharged from my job. I knew it. But I don't know why now. Just down. But I shall yet praise Him. Did you know there's nothing pleases God any more than for you to put brag on Him? I'll close with this. And I'll close with something else. The other day, I got a letter from Dr. Jim Lyons, my assistant pastor here. We were, Johnny was here, and you were here. And he wrote me a letter. And it was a nice, kind letter. And he said, Bill Lyons, he said, one of my best friends, Millard Cannell, died. And I remember Millard Cannell. He was a deacon of mine at Miller Road Baptist Church. Great big guy. And I got to tell you this. This is adding up part of the sermon. I'm just in the talking mood. I promise you we'll get out by 1 o'clock. And I keep my promises. We had a Labor Day picnic, a church-wide picnic. Miller Cannell weighed about 270. We had a tag team wrestling match. Everybody had to be over 250. Well, I weighed 140 at the time. I weighed 142 now. But I weighed 140 at the time. And so we had it all deal. I was going to referee the match with all these muscular fellows. Where's he? All the muscular fellows. And we had it all set up that they were going to get mad at me. And I was going to throw a block in the middle of the camel, this 270-pound guy. He was going to fake that he was out. I knocked him out. He was going to fake it. So I was refereeing this match. Camel came to me and gave me some trouble as referee, and I blocked him out. He fell down. I started laughing. He didn't wake up. He was cold. Don't mess with me, folks. Don't mess with me. Here's what I was going to tell you before I got off on that rabbit trail. Had a little prayer room at Miller Road Baptist Church. We prayed around the clock, 24 hours every day. Had a little chalkboard up here. You could walk in and write your request there. And somebody, every hour of the day and night, it was a neighborhood church, it's easy to do it. So in that prayer room, praying. It was my time to pray about 2 o'clock in the morning. I went down there to pray, and Millard Campbell was praying before me. He's the one who passed away the other day. And I stood outside the door, and I heard him pray, "Oh God, I love my preacher. Oh God, thank you for giving Brother House to me. Oh God, he's the greatest preacher in the whole world." He just described me perfectly. And I stood outside the door. It was my time to pray, and his time was up, but he was so carried away in thanking God for me. He prayed 30 minutes past his time. And for 30 minutes, I heard Miller Campbell just back on me. I went to visit one of our men at St. Catherine's Hospital. I got to the door of the room, and he was talking to the guy in the bed beside him about me. And the fellow said, "That House fellow, is he your preacher? He's a strange kind of fellow." And this sick man from my church said, "Don't you send him against my preacher. That's the best man I know." I stood outside the door and clapped my hands while I heard him brag on me. Don't you think God gets hungry sometimes for you to brag on him? Don't you think every once in a while we ought to just stop and say, "You're wonderful. You're gracious. You're merciful. You're omnipotent. You're patient. You're long-suffering." And then don't you think at times we ought to be so busy talking about how good he is, he overhears us? I promise you this. When you're down and don't know why, if you'll just run as fast as you can to the 43rd Psalm and look at David and then say with David, "I yet shall praise him." Or I voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention. I got kicked off radio station. There's a scandal out about me, said Brother Olaf. And I got personal problems. But he said, "Well, praise God anyhow." That's what David said. "I shall yet praise him. I don't know why I'm down." Would you bow your heads, please?